As new public school enrollments, standards, and expectations change, so does the need for well-prepared teachers, and there's a concern that we don't have enough. Broadly speaking, the supply of teachers nationwide appears adequate, but a closer look shows some local school districts and even whole states have teaching vacancies they can't seem to fill, and not just in certain subjects. An acute shortage of substitute teachers is also an acute problem. We'll discuss how it stands for Michigan and the Upper Peninsula and how teacher shortages are being addressed just ahead on MediaMeet. Hello and welcome to WNMU's MediaMeet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guests are Northern Michigan University School of Education Professor and Associate Dean Joe Lubig, Norway Vulcan Area School Superintendent, and a Regional President of the Michigan Association of School Superintendents and Administrators, Louis Steigerwald, and Marquette Area Public Schools Human Resources Manager Jenna Smith. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before proceeding, let's look at the organizations represented. Dean Lubig, you can give us a brief description of the NMU College of Education, including programming, number of faculty, enrollment, and a rough idea of the number of teachers and substitutes you're turning out.
Oh, sure. So our teacher preparation program, we have about 419 people in the program right now that are interested in becoming teachers, which is an increase of about 50 or 60 from 3 years ago.
Really?
Primarily right now, a lot of people interested in secondary education, which is a flip from 5 or 6 years ago where elementary ed was a focus for people coming in. 14 full-time faculty members and staff, and then another 7 faculty that we work with from across campus in specific disciplines such as history, physics, those types of subject areas.
I see. Jenna, human resources is a pretty broad and demanding area. How many teachers and subs on the roster for the Marquette Area Public Schools, and how many schools and students are we talking about?
Sure, we have 210 teachers, and I would say we have about 70 active substitute teachers on our sub roster right now.
Okay.
From what I've told, that is down from in previous years.
All right.
And for schools, we've got 7 buildings. We've got 4 elementary buildings, 1 middle school, and 2 high schools. We've got Marquette Senior High School and the alternative high school for a total of about 3,200 students.
Wow, that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Superintendent Steigerwald, could we get a similar description of the Norway Vulcan system?
Sure. We are a much smaller district, obviously, than Marquette. We have a little under 700 students right now, 36 full-time teachers. On any given day, you might find anywhere from no subs in the building to, if we're doing some work with staff, we'll sub out, and you might find up to 8 subs in the building.
Okay. We noted you're Region 1 president of the Michigan Association of School Superintendents and Administrators, which has some 700 members.
Mm-hmm.
10 regions and 1.5 million students, I think, represented. What can you tell us briefly about the organization, its mission, and its function?
The superintendent's organization is to support superintendents throughout the state. Of course, we lobby for things we think are in the best interest of kids and schools and teachers. And so we're always interested in what's going on down in Lansing, and then up here in Region 1, things that affect the UP, because things that affect us here in the UP can be quite different than some of the priorities downstate. So my job as president is to represent the region along with some of my colleagues in Lansing about once a month.
I see. National data tells us on the surface that the supply of teachers hasn't changed much over the past decade. In fact, the number of U.S. teachers has grown by 13% in the last 4 years, outpacing a 2% rise in student enrollment during the same period. But experts point out that all teacher shortages are local. just in general, how does it look locally from where you stand?
Let's start with you.
Well, I've been surveying the superintendents throughout Region 1, throughout the UP for the past several years. And every year, there are a number of our superintendents who have been unable to fulfill all their faculty needs, or they've had to hire whomever it is that applied. You haven't had a large applicant pool.
I see.
And in fact, what I have found in recent years is the only vacancy that I have confidence in filling is for elementary. For every other segment of our school, I don't have high confidence. I just have to hope and see what comes in across the transom.
Yeah. We should point out that you did a survey of some 36 UP school districts not long ago. Mm-hmm.
Right.
29 had vacancies, some for a year or more.
Right, yeah, they can't. And the more rural the district, the larger the problem is, especially when you get into your specialty areas, the trades, your sciences, math, frankly, special ed, foreign language, very, very tough to fill.
Okay. Jenna, what do you say?
I would say some of the positions we have difficulty filling include special education, early childhood special education, consumer life.
That seems
life.
To be a national thing.
It's a tough fill. Yeah. Some of our elementary specials, or even we've had trouble with a K-12 PE certification, some of those things just can be difficult to find. I would say that our relationship with NMU and having close proximity to NMU has helped us in a lot of areas to make sure we've got a strong applicant pool. And I think Marquette schools might be a little bit more poised to avoid some of those critical shortages because of that relationship. Mm-hmm. I will say often we don't have a very wide candidate pool. Maybe we'll only have a few applicants for a position. And then even if we're able to fill our positions, we've got outlying districts that will ask us for a list of names of folks that we didn't hire because they're so desperate. Yeah. And we do that obviously with permission from those applicants, but people are just getting creative in how they find those applicants because there's not very many of them.
Go ahead, Joe. I know you've got to not only identify the shortages, you've got to do something about it.
Yeah, and then to do it with integrity, right? I mean, we're so fortunate to have all of the partners in the Upper Peninsula, and I would add that Lake Superior State University, Bay College, Gogebic, the tribal colleges, Michigan Tech, everybody's working together on this to try to solve these shortage issues. And it's, I mean, it really comes down, Bill, to simple math. I mean, teacher prep produces 4% of the new teachers that enter the profession in the state. Okay. And then if they're leaving at a rate of, there's an 8% need, and then you have in the first 5 years, 33% of those teachers, nationally at least, are deciding that they may pursue other professions or other lines of work within the field of education, then there's huge gaps that get created. And as Lou was pointing out, the rurality of our area really adds to, finding fit, need, people who can discover us and want to stay here. So we've been pretty creative with all of our partners as to how we might fill those needs. We obtained a $500,000 title grant to really place new teachers into positions where we could work with them more purposely to get a license. So these are people that are changing careers, and we could get them the pedagogy that they needed and working with the school districts. But everything's at a distance, and it just makes it more difficult to scale those types of things up in a rural setting where we're spread across the entire Upper Peninsula trying to fill those needs and do it with integrity. Because we also know that a lot of the folks prepared through alternative route scenarios, that their leave rate is even greater. I mean, they're leaving at a rate of 45, 50, in some cases 60% within the first 3 years. So we're still leaving these big holes. So the solutions we need to come up with, we really need to leverage our relationships and the technology available to us to really make sure that we can support new teachers over the long term to keep them there.
The big bumps appear to be in very rural and very urban settings. An Education Week analysis of federal data showed that all 50 states have shortages in one teaching area or another. Mm-hmm. Well, and these are generally defined in terms of key subject areas.
Yes,
right,
The Michigan Department of Education doesn't track teacher vacancies for the 900 public school districts in the state. But both state and federal agencies do issue a critical shortage list. Trades and technology, especially allied health technology, top the list in Michigan. It may not top the list in the UP.
Right.
And areas related to learning disabilities make up the top categories, for example, in Wisconsin. But it's a problem across the country. Our education students, even some teachers on staff, bolstering their value by stepping into underserved disciplines, trying to fill in.
Definitely, and they're smart about it. So again, they have a really nice connection with the local school districts, and by local, I mean the Upper Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And even out of state, they're seeking out places they want to live and looking for pending retirements or vacancies.
Okay.
And then really working with us to reach out to districts to get placed in those areas, but they're also listening to us, and they're listening to our employers, because our employers come and tell them, if you added a special education endorsement, or if you thought about adding a minor in chemistry or physics, that you are more employable over the long term for your career, and we would scoop you up in a second, so much so that people like, you know, Norway Vulcan and Marquette Area Public Schools, and they are hiring them during their student teaching experience.
Okay.
But again, we can't do that if that on-site mentoring isn't there. So we also know that they're going into quality environments with support from professionals in school settings.
Oh, I see. Okay. Some factors point to possible long-term shortages. Statewide, there's been a significant decline in attendance at job fairs, applications to university teacher prep programs. What's more, teaching certificates have issued have declined from a high of almost 10,000 in 2004 to over 3,000, just a little over 3,000 in 2018. Has there been a similar decline at NMU, perhaps other universities in the UP?
So NMU, so the national average was about 38%. We were at about 31% decline.
Okay.
And we're starting to claw our way back from that. The people that want to come into the profession, I mean, again, the advantage is they're definitely doing it for the right reasons, but the volume isn't there. And so I think it limits choices. And I think the Michigan Department of Ed would tell you that there isn't a shortage.
No.
There's a misplacement, right? Or unavailability. And I get what they're saying.
Which turns out to be a shortage.
Exactly.
You
right.
Call
yeah.
whatever you like.
Right. So there's that language. But I mean, you two know way more about that need, right? That immediate need and what's happening.
Let's talk about that. Right. How are school districts themselves coping with the shortage of certified teachers? The questions here really are what measures are available to them and how have they been used in districts represented here?
We can get emergency certification. We work with the Michigan Department of Ed on that.
There are, by the way, across the country, there are a couple of school districts that actually set up their own certification system. But go ahead. something
Joe,
brand new.
Right?
Something brand new.
Something
that's brand
an option
new.
In ESA. So,
there you go. Yeah. I'm sorry, Lou. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm intrigued now. So you don't have a lot of options. If you don't have a person, you don't have a person. So we can emergency certify folks. If they're coming into the profession and they have an interest, they've not completed their college work yet, or they've let their certification go and they've got to recertify. Other than that, we have to find someone we can put in there on a temporary basis and keep our posting and hope we can find somebody. Other districts have gone ahead and done some long distance learning with some partner districts that have the available teacher through the use of video equipment.
That's an interesting idea, sure.
And other districts have, especially in areas such as special ed, have had to resort to placing the kids in that high school online, which is another discussion altogether.
Yeah. What can you tell us, Jenna?
I would say we get creative, and that might mean combining positions. Uh-huh. It might mean recruiting a...
Your math teacher teaches music.
Exactly.
Okay.
Might mean looking at, you know, reassessing what our needs are and trying to determine how we can restructure to accommodate the students the best we can.
Yeah.
Might be filling in with a long-term sub, and that long-term sub may not just be someone from the pool. It might be looking around at the parents in that building and seeing who might want to step up and get certified as a sub to help out. You really just have to make it work for the students.
Let me take a moment to remind our viewers, and especially our radio listeners, that we're talking about teacher shortages in Michigan and the UP with Northern Michigan University School of Education Professor and Associate Dean Joe Lubig, Norway Vulcan Area School Superintendent and a Regional President of the Michigan Association of School Superintendents and Administrators, Louis Steigerwald, and Marquette Area Public Schools Human Resources Manager Jenna Smith. Substitute teachers have an important role in any school system, and they appear annually on the state's critical shortage list. You mentioned it. Teachers need backup to improve skills. They need it to take part in school management, which is more and more common, and to take advantage of contracted benefits and privileges. They need a vacation once in a while or have a child or, you know, those things.
We approve of it. how
important are subs to your districts, and how does the roster stand now compared to previous years?
Well, and one of the things we just talked about, you nailed what has happened. When I got out and graduated in 1989, I had to sub for a year and a half before I could get a full-time job.
Yeah.
And that was very typical. It was a typical experience no matter what your certification was.
That's right.
As Joe's indicated, we're hiring them even before they graduate.
Right out of school. Yeah.
And so your largest pool of substitute teachers were your young teachers. And it was great for districts also because you could see how a young man or woman handled a classroom, their professionalism and that sort of thing, and to know if you wanted to hire them as a full-time person.
Sure.
That pool is pretty much dried up.
Okay.
And so what you're left with, and not to say that they're not to demean or anything, but the remaining part of that pool is retired teachers, which is a much smaller pool. Generally, when folks retire, they want to...
We've got baby boomers retiring right now from the teaching profession.
Oh, my, yes. Yeah. And so our biggest pool of subs right now is our former teachers, and they either want to sub on a limited basis because some of them will travel in the winter and whatnot, or they move on to other things. And so you don't have as large a pool as you did back in the day. So, yes, we are hurting for subs frequently.
Okay. Jenna?
Subs play a critical role, just as you said, to relieve teachers to do things like go to PD, new teacher mentor type situations, a sick day, taking care of a sick child, those things. It sounds like our sub list used to be more robust, but I haven't been in my position about 3 years, so I've only been around when we really haven't had subs. So, you know, unfortunately, we just have to make it work. So that might mean that we have a teacher filling in on their prep period and maybe getting paid for that prep period, but we just piece it together day by day in each building.
In many states, the need for substitutes is so significant now that state legislatures are lowering the entering requirements for these people. For Michigan, in 2015, a law took effect allowing teachers to return to the classroom to fill positions without risking retirement benefits. In 2017, college credit requirements for a substitute teacher were lowered from 90 credits to 60, and I understand transfer credits have been lowered by the University at NMU, which might affect your school.
So the 60 credits can be from any institution of higher ed combined.
Okay.
Yeah, so that really that alters the playing field a little bit for us. Yeah.
And this year, a new law allows someone to sub if they're employed in a subject area where they've achieved expertise. You've got an accountant, for example, who's been in the business for 30 years and they're able to come in and help.
Right.
Your observations, you see any real solutions in those changes?
We haven't seen a lot.
We're still lowering standards at the same time.
Right, well, yeah, and we haven't seen a lot of folks who are in their current profession who want to come in, because you've got a really targeted sub then. And in small rural districts, your teachers very, very often, if not usually, teach a variety of classes. We're using their full certification very often. You know, you might already have your science teacher teaching math, and so if it's someone who's that specialized, very difficult to place them in a situation. And so the sub issue really is that pool has dried up for us, and you can keep lowering the standards, but it doesn't mean, let's face it, subbing is not a full-time job. And I think as you lower the number of credits, you're talking about kids who are currently in school, and so during the day they're in school and not available to sub for us.
Right.
Or they're working towards some other degree, and they're not, there's not a whole bunch of folks who are just sitting around, I think, going, gee, I wish they'd lower the requirement to 60 because I want to.
It's not like traditionally where substitute teachers were recent education graduates who were going to show everybody what they could do.
Correct.
You know,
right.
That kind of thing. In terms of policy, while Michigan is now issuing report cards on local school districts for the benefit of consumers, the governor said, a new study from Michigan State University ranks the state dead last in total education revenue growth between 1995 and 2015. Now, adjusted for inflation, Michigan school revenue was 82% of what it was in 1995 after passage of an education finance overhaul, and researchers say tax cuts were the largest factor. Now, there were some things accomplished in that overhaul. The teacher retirement system was headed for bankruptcy, and it was saved, and now it's been changed again because they haven't solved the problem. And the budget improved every year of the former governor's tenure, putting Michigan somewhere in the middle in per pupil spending, but it's still like 14-15% behind. If the problem is state revenue, where do you think it should come from?
Well, first of all, remembering that Governor Snyder actually cut funds to school in his first year.
Okay.
And then increased them every year after, which
right.
was something
right.
those of us who have been around for a while predicted would happen. Yeah. And so because of that initial cut, we had never got back, especially adjusted for inflation, and we have the same costs that any other business does.
Mm-hmm. So you think it was the first cut that did the most damage here?
Oh, certainly.
Okay,
certainly.
Go ahead.
We never got back to where we would have been with simple inflation, if you figure that in. We're quite a ways
behind.
Right.
That's right. And
so it seems to me at this point the issue is the philosophy is do what you can with this allotment of money we're going to give you. And the other argument from the superintendents and teaching organizations for certain too is, do you want to have Michigan be competitive with other states and Michigan students to be competitive so that we draw industry to Michigan and we don't have another Amazon like happened last year in Detroit where they said Michigan just doesn't have enough talent?
Yeah.
So do you want to improve on that, or do you want us just to make do with the allotment that you're willing to give us? Because that's what we're doing right now. We've made cuts in multiple areas. Frankly, if we talk about why is there's this teaching shortage, when I survey the superintendents, the overwhelming response is teacher pay is too low and kids are not interested in the profession. That is overwhelmingly the response.
Okay.
And so we can pretend that this amount that we're getting, something can be, and I've been told to be creative with dollars. I'm not sure what that means. Origami, I'm not sure. Michigan kids are falling behind. If we want to address that, we have to do what leading states are doing. And that is there's more money. I don't have the personnel that they have when you look at what other leading states have.
So I love one of the mm-hmm. things I appreciate from Arson's work at Michigan State University is two things always resonate with me from him. Is one is we keep drawing down on the school aid fund to plug holes in other places,
yeah.
right? And so when you're drawing $300 million, $600 million from the school aid fund, that's demoralizing because that money is, we're supposed to be using that for our students, for our children, right? And then the pattern that was established, a one-time move from Governor Granholm that then got exasperated, and now we're using the school aid fund across PK-20, which is really makes it more difficult, right?
Sure.
And then you look at other states where they talk about per pupil funding, and it's great. I mean, they're saying, well, Michigan's equal to them. Like, they are, but we are required to use our per pupil funding for infrastructure, for transportation, for those types of things.
Right.
And a lot of us are wondering, might there be space right now with a push from Governor Snyder originally, mm-hmm. and now with Governor Whitmer, mm-hmm. to really move into an idea where we look at infrastructure funding and wrap the public schools into that kind of package as far as, connectivity, sewer systems,
sure.
clean water, all those things, so that we could really use the money for children, for the education of children. I get the building's important, and I know it matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we separated those two things out, that might be a smart move. And this might be the time to do it as we're talking about yeah. infrastructure in Michigan.
Yeah, the two budgets, there are actually two budgets in Michigan. One where everything is pretty much spent, when it's appropriated. And the other has a little bit of discretion.
Mm-hmm.
In Gretchen Whitmer's State of the State, or first State of the State address, she talked a lot about infrastructure, but not about school infrastructure. She talked about affordability mm-hmm. for people beyond secondary school, which is, to some, I think for some people might have been kind of a disappointment. But
I wonder if there's an answer in there, though, because mm-hmm. we're talking about the cost to attend and to complete a four-year degree, and we value the four-year degree because of the experience it brings and the mentoring
mm-hmm.
and the support networks for somebody to prepare themselves and to help be prepared to be an educator.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what if we could take the cost of that education and remove it from the front end? If we could get better at using dual or concurrent enrollment or community college supports and work with those institutions on subject foundation mm-hmm. and then really move towards the pedagogical components that are needed so we could work with children of all abilities. What if we flip that, right? And use that idea to move us forward and to save some cost for people choosing to work in any of the helping professions, really. Right? I think that might be a really smart thing to consider.
Okay. Jenna?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I know the
question. We're still not talking. We still really haven't asked the question, where's the money coming
from? That's what
from?
I was about to say. Is that I don't know that we have the answer, because we keep talking about all the great things we can do and how we can look at things differently, but I don't think we've got that pot of gold down in Lansing at the state of Michigan to be able to draw from. You know, something would have to be cut, or we would have to increase taxes across the state or in certain areas, and I don't know.
Or put them back.
We got support from the states.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Support from the governor now, and she's got some very competent help, and you've got a state school board with a state school board president who's tried to hold the line for as long as he could. Right. Now he's got someone else to talk to, but go ahead. What do you think?
There's a couple things. If they, you know, when you're talking about where's the money coming from, you've seen them, it's damaged us throughout the state. The big box taxing and the relief for that has cut school budgets tremendously. And taxation has, Lansing has the ability to tax a lot more than they've ever used. They've let it decline.
Okay.
Education is expensive. And as I said, you either want to have competitive kids coming out of high school and college, or you want what you're willing to spend. If it's the priority to keep Michigan or move Michigan to the top 10 and 10, then you're going to have to change some things. Joe alluded to what we're talking about here, what we've asked the state to consider, and there have been a number of studies now, they're nonpartisan studies that show that Michigan is thousands of dollars behind in per pupil funding where it needs to be if it wants to be competitive. If you're satisfied, this is what we're willing to pay and this is what we're getting, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
If you want kids to be competitive in this nation, we're not spending enough money because I don't have the personnel I need. One of the things we've asked for, and Joe alluded to transportation, in a lot of states, transportation funding is a separate line item and a separate budget. It's not in the general fund, and things that's what Joe is alluding to. This is a specific challenge in the UP because geographically, our districts tend to be very large.
Okay.
And so we've asked the state, we have a separate funding stream for transportation that would not come out of our general fund. That would help tremendously in the UP.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there for time. We've been talking about school shortages in Michigan and the Upper Peninsula with Northern Michigan University School of Education and Associate Dean Joe Lubig, Norway Vulcan Area School Superintendent and a Regional President of the Michigan Association of School Superintendents and Administrators, Louis Steigerwald, and Marquette Area Public Schools Human Resources Manager, Jenna Smith. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Hart. See you next time on MediaMeet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV. Northern Michigan University Public Television.